The Blitz with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Can you make a new Gym of the Day song? It sucks as bad as the Texans. Good day. Sir?
You know what, sir? Bite your tongue.
Yeah.
Gym of the Day song.
Gym of the Day song is one of the most popular songs ever written, and it will never be changed.
It's like saying Let It Be sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break, dude. I basically wrote the Bohemian Rhapsody of my generation, and you're saying it sucks?
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at the Urban Star Bar in the Hyatt in the Galleria. And usually I reset the show here, so if you missed the first hour, it was good. This hour is going to be good. And you know the numbers, you know the Twitters. But right now, we have a very special guest, and with a lot of the stuff that's going on in college football right now, I think it's going to be fun to talk to him. Former A&M coach, that's where we know him from. Forget everywhere else, but he's been all over the place and had a terrific run at A&M.
Are you calling me old?
No way. Let me tell you something.
Guess what, coach? I love you, but compared to me, and I'm an old. Yeah.
I will say
Pitt, A&M, Mississippi State, had a lot of success throughout his career. Jackie Sherrill joins us.
Yeah, that Mississippi State, you got to remember, and when you went to Mississippi State, coach, I was like a kid. I was 10 or 11 years old. But Mississippi State was like, they were the joke school. I mean, there was that team, there was no way they were ever going to win football games. And you were there for a good while, and I looked up your record there. 500 coach at Mississippi State at a time where they were a disaster.
I should have retired in 2000, 3 years earlier, and I'd been a 700.
Yeah, would have been nice. Would have been nice. When you obviously the well, you know what, Fred? Let's take care of business. Let's get this out of the way.
Talk about what you got going on here. First annual Houston Legends Luncheon, which is Tuesday, October 30th. At the, guess what, right here, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good spot.
Yeah, great spot for it. VIP reception from 10:30 to 11:30. Doors are going to open to the public at 11 a.m. to start bidding on silent auction items, and lunch starts at 11:50. And it's going to honor a person that has spent his or her time, energy, and money to help Houstonians in need and to improve the quality of life, lives of people of Houston.
This sounds like me.
You know what? They have a pretty good choice here. This year's honoree is Jim McInvale, better known as Mattress Mac, who...
Okay. Well, there's always next year for me, Fred.
Yeah, you keep trying. You'll get there. And funds from the luncheon will be placed in the ISCRE Foundation, which is the Institute for Stem Cell Research and Education. And that way you can help former athletes, servicemen, and women with different issues, and Alzheimer patients with stem cell therapy. And the mission of the Institute is to provide education and research, spearheading breakthroughs in regenerative medicine, using mesenchymal stem. Is it mesenchymal? This is when I'm... MSCs. We'll call them MSCs.
You're just butchering this.
I know. And other scientific advances to improve the quality of life for athletes, servicemen, and women suffering from injuries, pain, and other maladies such as Alzheimer's and other degenerative diseases. And, Coach, yeah, Mattress Mac, that's a good choice for that. It's a good dude who's been doing a lot of good stuff in this city for a long time.
You know, you realize when Harvey hit and he sent out all of his trucks to pick people up, but when they came back to the store, they were, you know, polite. And he says, go sleep where you want to. Now, anything they touched
was ruined.
He couldn't sell.
Right.
Right.
So if you add all that up, plus feeding them, that was a big heart.
No doubt.
And also a big checkbook.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mac's been doing stuff like that for a long time, too. So well, I'm glad to see him recognized.
You know, the competitive in him is pretty huge. You know, he played football and is really was born in Starkville, Mississippi. And they, when he started, but they competitiveness in him when he started bidding on the champion of the rodeos, you know, the grand champions.
Yeah.
No one was going to outbid him, even if he had the money or not. No one was going to.
Let's. I want to start with your time at Pittsburgh because you had a quarterback who turned out to be pretty decent in Dan Marino.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. When that, and there was that draft with all those quarterbacks, and he goes near the end of the first round, and having been around him and seeing what he could do, were you surprised that it took that long for somebody to get him, and then he was instantly great right as soon as he got there?
Well, that was my fault. You know, I shouldn't have left him. That's one thing that I have not said publicly, but since you brought it up, he didn't. You know, all great players, regardless, they have to have somebody that can handle them. Meaning, he wasn't a bad kid. That's not what I'm saying. But I remember one day on the practice field, he put the ball on the ground, and he didn't go after it. And I walked over, put my arm around him, and I said, "Danny, those five guys up there kill for you. If you put it on the ground again and don't go after it, I'm going to chase you off this field." And about a month later, it goes on the ground. He doesn't do it. And I'm about 20 yards away, and I holler and chase him off the field. I'm glad I wasn't close to him because he may have swung. But and that what flashed forward was he threw an interception. His first pass in college ball was an interception. And then his first pass in professional ball was an interception. But he caught the guy at about the 10-yard line and knocked him out. The flashback was me making him go after that ball and then chasing him off the field. Yeah, he was going to make up for it.
Pittsburgh wasn't your first coaching job.
No.
You were at Washington State for a year.
No, well, I started at Alabama, played there, and then stayed there finishing my master's degree as a student coach, GA, and then went to Arkansas to finish my master's. And I remember walking Coach Bryant, I met him walking into the coach's office, and I said, "Coach, would you call Arkansas?" He said, "Well, do they have a job?" I said, "No, sir, I'm going there as a GA." He didn't say a word to me. He just kept on, because in his mind, why am I leaving Alabama to go to Arkansas to be a GA? That didn't make him very happy. But anyway, he had one of his coaches call. I went there. And then from there, Coach Majors got the job at Iowa State, and all of a sudden I just said, you know, want to be a coach. So asked Coach Majors for a job and went to Washington State. We stayed there 5 years and then went to Pittsburgh, and I was there three and then took the head job at Washington State and then came back to Pittsburgh for five and then A&M for –
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Washington State back in those days, that was not a great football job.
No.
And when you're there, for the 1 year you were the head coach there, you didn't do a particularly great job. Well, I mean, no better than anybody else was doing
there. Well, record-wise, but we took SC to the wire all the way down to the fourth quarter. They had to run their great tailback 42 times to beat us, and same thing with UCLA. We beat Oregon State, and had a chance to beat Stanford. So,
but you, typically, when you go 3-8 at a school, you don't get a call from a better school saying, "Hey, we'd like you to be our head coach." Because Pittsburgh at the time was a football power.
Yeah. Well, sometimes a year will not affect. You know, especially if you've been at a school like Pittsburgh, and then Coach Majors left, so who was their next choice? The guy that recruited all the players and, you know, coached the defense for them. So I had the opportunity to go back, and it was a great opportunity. You know, we ended up with some great, great players. 1980 probably was the best assembled number of players. You know, we talk about Alabama's today or Ohio States, but we had three in the first round, 11 in the first seven, and we had 18 that went to camp. And out of those, you had Russ Grimm, which is Hall of Fame, Danny Marino, Hall of Fame, Chris Dolman, which is a Hall of Fame. You have Russ Grimm, that's a Hall of Famer. And out of that group that were there at that 1980 team, you'll end up probably with eight Hall of Famers. Bill Frelick will be in the Hall of Fame. Jimbo Colbert will be in the Hall of Fame. Hugh Green, if he had stayed, he would have been in, hadn't gotten hurt, he would have been in the Hall of Fame. So you got a chance to have quite a few of them. That, and Danny's offensive line was Jimbo Colbert, Emil Bors, Russ Grimm, Bill Frelick, and Mark May. Now, that line was probably better than what he had in Pro Bowl.
Now, your time at Pitt, around the end of that time at Pitt, 1980, 1981, you are arguably the second best team in the country both those years. You finished top two in the coaches' poll. Two in the AP poll in 1980.
I've always said if the head coach had been smarter, they would have won the championship. And, I always asked, who is that dummy head coach?
I look at 79 through 81, you went 33-3 at Pitt. And then from there you go to A&M, which at the time seemed like a move backwards. What was the decision to leave Pitt to go to A&M?
Well, there was some issues going on at Pitt at that time. The most important thing, and it doesn't matter, it's the same thing in your business. It's the people above you. They'll either give you a chance to be successful or not. And I had been to A&M quite a few times. Coach Stallings recruited me, coached me at Alabama. So I had been there quite a few times in the summer, learning how to stop the wishbone. And so I didn't have to look at the facilities, didn't have to look at certain things, didn't have to study the recruiting because you knew the power of Houston and Dallas in recruiting in Texas. So there was quite a few things. The biggest thing when I went to the interview was I wanted to know how important football was to A&M, plus the president. Regardless of all these things we hear about boards and other people, boards are very important, don't get me wrong, because most of them are the ones that give the money for a lot of it,
right?
Buildings on campus, and they, business wise emotionally wise have an opportunity to help build the universities. But I wanted to know how important football was to the president at A&M and how committed he was.
Can we hold you through a break and then talk to you about Texas A&M on the other side?
Absolutely. I'll be here as long as you want me.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. Got to tell you guys about Bill Advisor. And if you own your home, Bill Advisor wants to save you some money. That's because they're friendly people over there. Shopping for a better deal on your policy, it's always been a pain. It used to take hours to get a reliable quote. Then someone came along, said they'll in 15 minutes they'll save you some money. Bill Advisor's got a new system that's even faster, and you're going to save a ton. They will deliver you a firm home insurance quote in 15 seconds using nothing but a text message. You grab your phone right now. You text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You send that back, and they're going to give you a full quote with excellent coverage in 15 seconds, and the savings are real. Their average homeowner saving over $790 per year. I saved more than that. It's real coverage, real savings, real fast. 2018 is here, and no one has 15 minutes to wait around for an insurance quote anymore. Bill Advisor is going to find you savings in 15 seconds. This is the new way to shop and save big on your home insurance. One more time, text MONEY to 232323 and get your home insurance quote from Bill Advisor.
Now, never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We are back on The Blitz, live here at the Hyatt in the Galleria on Sage.
No, Fred, what's the score of
nine
the...
9-5.
Uh-oh.
I told you.
Oh, no.
I hate to be Mr. Negative. All right. All right, we're out here at the Hyatt. If you're just getting off work, come join us and get a chance to meet Jackie Sherrill, who's going to hang around and chat with us a little more. Okay, Coach, is the castration story true? That's always the number one question I get for you.
Well, let me put it this way. I always carry my knife. And when people ask, I very gladly say, I teach castration 101, and it only takes 3 seconds. I'll be glad to teach you.
Oh, my. Did you hear the story about the fighter today, what happened to him? There's an MMA fighter who was – he had a board he was trying to screw into the ceiling, and he put the drill between his legs, squeezed his legs so he could get the board in place, and the drill got caught in his satchel and twisted up, and then he untwisted it, and it was ripped open. The old pouch was ripped open.
Well,
never a good feeling.
No, he was in a lot of pain. But to answer your story, the mistake I made is I didn't take the team to South Farms. That's where the vet students do 40 or more every day. And they could have seen two or three of them. There was a young lady running across the field, and she saw what she thought she saw, and she told her mother, and her mother was a secretary at the vet school. And it just mushroomed.
And, as they do.
And Lampley called me, Jim Lampley. And I said, well, Jim, do you know what a steer is? And he said, no. I said, well, you do now. He started. I asked our players if they knew what a steer was. No one raised their hands.
And guys at A&M?
No, this is at Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, Jimmy Helms, which he played at Texas, was on the staff. He was the only one. So now we're going out to practice. No big deal. And one of my managers, come running up to me, and he said, Coach, we're in the cattle business, and my dad, we do 20 to 40 a day. And he said, you want my dad to bring one down? I said, sure. So his dad, and the vet was with him, and the vet gave him a shot of penicillin. That never happens. And they actually performed the procedure, but it was like I had the knife between my teeth and threw him on the ground and did it.
And, like with your fingernails or something.
Yeah, but it went nationwide.
Yeah.
But I will say it. Whatever happened, it helped the players because Texas got a thumping.
They did?
Yeah, a big thumping. There's two things that always I felt with the players as a coach. You work all week. Sunday you're on them. Back then we had Sunday. So you're on them Sunday watching the films, the ones that didn't play very well or whatever. So you're in the grind Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, getting ready to play. And I always felt if you don't do something on Friday to liven the players up, get their mind off of, how bad you were for all those days during the week, then they're going to carry it over to the game instead of being mentally fresh, being loose, and being ready to play. And where I got that was I used to go watch Oklahoma practice. And on practice, it was like a circus on Friday. I mean, they were, really lively, having fun. And so I made it, you know, we had sometimes, one year we had a player that every Friday read a poem. But on Friday we would do something, and, you know, at Pittsburgh I dressed up like a leprechaun that was playing Notre Dame. And you can imagine this body. And
yeah, it's a sexy leprechaun.
Yeah, and one year we're playing Florida State, and so I dressed up like an Indian with, you know, the bells on the ankle and the full lawn cloth. And,
you know, you couldn't do that in 2018.
No.
It's a different age.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, the players lighten the players up. You're still going over your game plan, but you don't have to drill it in at that time. So that's – and I'm going all the way back to when I was playing. Coach Bryant, when we were playing either Tennessee or playing Auburn or playing LSU or playing somebody that was big, that the practices that week were different. And so I think that it's important to understand the psychological of the players. And there's some coaches that screw the lid down tighter on starting Thursday, Friday, and even before the game, where the players are tense rather than being relaxed.
Let me take you back to your days in College Station. First 3 years there, it's a grind.
Two and a half, yes.
And then you guys really start to hit a stride, and you have 3 years in a row that are really like kind of – people don't really talk about this. Like some of the best years in the history of Texas A&M football. And I know everyone has this belief that Texas A&M has had like tons of success forever, but – there's only a certain handful of spurts where they were even relevant, and that three-year span was arguably one of the best runs that Texas A&M football had. Talk about that time, and then when you thought – well, actually, if you even realized that things were starting to spin out of control for you and for the program.
Well, it took me 2.5 years to understand Texas A&M. It's a very unique place. Here I am. You know, young, same coach, same person I was at Pittsburgh. And, you know, all coaches question yourself. You know, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong? And so when I really realized that I needed, and I didn't think this, but the students came and got me. You know, I had a student that burst in my office one day and said, "You want to be the Aggie coach? Or you want to be just another Aggie coach?" So I said, "I want to be the Aggie." He said, "Well, follow me." So he put me in the elephant walk. Well, I probably was the only head coach ever in the elephant walk. And from there, it escalated in other things that were very important to the students. But when we did the 12th man kickoff team and did the 12th man towels, that kind of moved it forward. But what really changed our football team, you know, we were having I thought we were going to have a good year, and we probably could have had a good year. We played Arkansas, TCU, and Texas the last three games. So we go to Fayetteville, Arkansas. I didn't do my job. We go stay an hour and above Arkansas at the Springs. It was an early game, 11 o'clock kick. So that meant you had to get up at 5 o'clock. You had to eat, you know, pregame meal 4 hours before. There were no lights, and we were staying at a place that was a resort that you stayed in cabins.
So everybody was separate.
You're
spread out.
And there was no lights. Guys stumbling everywhere trying to get to the bus. We had made arrangements to stop at this place, a pancake place, for breakfast. When we got there, it was overwhelming. They couldn't handle the numbers. And it finally, I just said, "We're gone." And we took off. And because we had to get to the stadium. And it was cold and raining and sleeting. And we had prepared all – week for an option quarterback. And all of a sudden, I guess we played too well early and knocked him out. And then they put in a quarterback to throw the football because he couldn't run.
Right.
And we couldn't stop him throwing. And that was – so we came back, and we're getting ready to play TCU the next week, which TCU wins, they go to the Cotton Bowl. And right before – during the week sometime, it was either Wednesday or Thursday, Ray Childers jumps up and says, I ain't letting TCU beat me. And Ray never would say a word. And it was shocking to the players, shocking to everybody. But he was a one-man wrecking crew that day. And we beat TCU and beat them bad. And so now we go to Texas. And if Texas beats us, they go to the Cotton Bowl. And we beat Texas 37-12. And they had some great players. They had the Outland Award winner, Lombardi Award winner. I mean, they had a lot of excellent players. And that's what started the whole flip. And so you can put some things together, but one was Ray Childress, that, and our players made a decision that they could win. And he helped them do that. And then the others were, you know, I made some staff changes, and that really helped. And from that point on, we were pretty good.
When the time comes for you when you made the decision to leave Texas A&M, obviously there was a lot of pressure on you, a lot of pressure on the university. What was the dynamic like between you and the president and the board of trustees and the team? Like, what was it like in those last days?
The team was fine. You know, the board of trustees, you know, begged me to stay.
Yeah, you guys were winning football games.
And begged me to stay, but, you know, I left. You know, no one's more important than Texas A&M. No, and same thing in any institution. You know, institutions, you know, Rice, you get a degree from Rice, you're pretty well set.
Yeah.
So no one's more important. And I made that decision because if I had stayed, the president probably would not have been able to stay. And so there would have been some other situation. And I guess Urban is in that position right now. So it wasn't an easy time, but I made the right decision to help Texas A&M. Yeah.
You have regrets about leading up to your leaving? Do you have regrets about the way things were handled at Texas A&M? Do you feel like it was sort of an injustice served?
Well, at that time, there was a lot of things going on that, wasn't.
At most schools, to be honest.
Well, but, you know, when somebody has all your phone records, somebody has all your travel, somebody has all your checking accounts, mm-hmm. So... And if you can't find something in 22 years, either the guy didn't do anything that you thought, or he was a hell of a lot smarter than you were, and you're not very smart.
Right.
So I would say that, and that's where you find, and that's sometimes what happens. The NCAA has no one that is a professional, trained investigator. And back then, and sometimes even now, are they unethical in things they do? Absolutely. You know, when the SMU deal was going on, I would have writers show up 30 minutes before the NCAA would show up, asking, you know, kids that were recruited by SMU. That wasn't by coincidence.
Right.
So, you know, they charge the University of Institution Control. They charge coaches with integrity issues, but they're not held to the same standards at all.
We got to take one more break. I want to talk to you on the other side about Texas A&M football today and Jimbo Fisher, who's now found himself under scrutiny already. hadn't even got to coach a game yet, and there's already people saying that, you know, he's in hot water. So former Aggie coach Jackie Sherrill's joining us here out at the Hyatt. And, Fred, tell people what they should do with their car when they don't want it anymore.
Well, I'm guessing Coach probably has a few cars he doesn't want anymore. Well, you can donate them to Texans Can Academies because this is a place that takes in kids that have dropped out of other schools. It gives them another chance. And so many of them dropped out because they had to get jobs to support their family or they had transportation issues. Well, the academy takes them in. They work around whatever those issues are. So many of them go on to graduate and do great, great things. And that's why they need your help. And by your help, they mean a vehicle you're not using anymore. It doesn't matter if it's a truck, a car, it can be a motorcycle, it can be a tractor. Doesn't matter if it's running, doesn't matter if it's got flood damage. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. Your donation is tax deductible. And the cool thing is, call today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, $50 gift card on top of that. So you're getting rid of something you don't need anymore, you don't want anymore, and you're doing a good thing with it. And you're getting tax deduction. 713-225-4226 is the number to call. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Having fun, got fun to fun.
This is Nolan Ryan with two tips for better living. Don't charge a mile unless you're ready to do business. And listen to ESPN 97.5.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at the Hyatt on Sage in the Galleria. If you're just getting in your car, come join us. That Astros game is now 9-7. Charlie Morton imploding.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Remember, I was telling you.
So you're saying it ain't over.
I was saying it ain't over when it was 9-1.
Okay, well.
We've been chatting with.
Did they win that challenge?
You know what? I don't think
no,
so.
No, they did not.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, anyway, we've got Coach Jackie Sherrill with us. He's going to hang out a little longer and. I was telling him, I'm just enjoying the conversation between you two.
Yeah, I feel like I'm blabbing my head off, which I tend to do. When we do interviews, I always, Fred just sits back and lets me run my head. But I wanted to ask you about, I'm sure you still follow the Aggie program pretty closely. And yesterday, not good news for the program. And there's scorned players, and I get that. And Fred and I talked before the show even about
how. Well, I mean, there's two things in this that. If you read the story, one, you're permitted to get money to entertain players.
Right.
Now, is there a better way? Yes, there could be a way where they all have to go to a compliance guy, and the compliance guy makes them sign and hand.
Right.
But as long as they're not giving more than they're allowed to have, then that there was nothing wrong with that. Now, if that's the first time he had ever entertained and he'd gotten money, any entertainment money for a to be the host, then he may have misinterpreted that, because every host is giving, you know, it used to be $20, it went to $40, and now it may be much more than
right.
$40. I mean, I don't know, but the in the even in the 90s, it was $40 per player.
But it's not a situation where the coach can just let's say the number's $100 now. The coach can't just put $100 in the player's hand and say, "Hey, have fun with this." Right? It's got to. There's a channel it has to go through.
There's got to be a trail.
Okay.
You know, a signature that, you know, I signed. I'm the host and to do that. So, you know, there is protocol and ways to do it.
Do you think that there's anything to this? You think it's going to lead to any trouble, or is this a slap on the wrist situation?
I have no idea, you know, and I don't think anybody does. You know, you can go through a lot of things, just like went through Ohio State. You know, you had an ex-wife. You know, Is domestic violence okay? No, not at all. But did she fabricate? Evidently she did, because they're believing that she did.
Right.
Even the authorities that investigated. So I don't think any of us will know. The only bad thing, it comes at a time that it's a distraction. Any distraction is not good. You know, I mean, when y'all are getting ready for the show, if you had 100 people distracting you, you're going to be scrambling and say, get out of the way. Let me right. get ready for my show.
That's so, what happened today with all these people.
Yeah.
So it was horrible.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. Now, will the truth come out? Yes, it will have
eventually.
To. Yeah.
Do you think Texas A&M moved on from Kevin Sumlin at the right time?
I think that any time first of all, Kevin's a good person. He was a good coach. But I think the waters were splitting. And any time the water splits, it's hard to get it back together. And so to answer your question, you know, from all the publicity, all the positive things, the move was right. Now, you got to win championships.
Right.
That's what Jimbo was hired in. You know, and I said this to Jimbo, you know, and he knows that I've said it publicly. Take it in the right way. Jimbo doesn't know what $75 million is, you know, and we don't. Now, people across the street that are in the financial business, they would know what $75 million. He's there to win football games. He's there to build a program. Now, and he will do a great job.
Mike, I have a question. I'm curious. I don't want to word it wrong, because I know from a financial standpoint, it was a good move for Texas A&M. But do you think that from a competitive football standpoint, that Texas A&M made a mistake going to the SEC?
Because absolutely not.
Okay. Because I've always thought Texas A&M, when they left, they were sort of a middle-of-the-road Big 12 team.
Well, it takes seven things to win a championship. You got to have the administration. You have to have the faculty. The faculty is more important than what people give credit to. You have to have the students, the former students, alumni. You got to have players. You got to have the coaches. And you have to have the media. The two most important far as the image, and the image really affects everything, because it'll affect your recruiting, it'll affect your ticket sales, your alumni's opinion, our former students, is the administration and the media. If you don't have the administration and you don't have the media, the chances of winning is zero. But you have to have, I'm talking about championships.
Right.
You can win some games, but not championships. But if you look at the teams that win championships, right now you're looking at Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State. Of course, they're going through some issues. But up until the issue they had, you would say that everything is in line from the administration to the media. You know, you don't read anything bad about Dabo Swinney. You don't hear anything from the administration. So everything is in line. Now, if you pick out two or three other programs, you're going to find where the administration is either not on board or the media is not on board. And when that happens, there's a big split.
My thought always was in the Big 12, if Texas had a down year and Oklahoma had a down year, A&M had a chance to win a championship.
No, here's
to me,
what
they had Johnny Football at A&M, and they were able to get to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Like, maybe the most you know, defining figure in college football for 2 years, and they really couldn't have championship level success with him.
Yeah, here's the thing you really have to understand. A&M was more important to the SEC than the SEC was to A&M. You've added 40% of their television program to the SEC. ESPN owns the rights.
Right.
You nor anybody else can tell me what that figure is.
Well, I'm sure it's pretty strong.
But you can't tell me.
No, I don't know.
Everybody knows what the Big Ten is. Everybody knows what the Pac-10 is. Everybody knows what the Big 12 is.
Everybody knows what Texas's deal is.
Yeah, but you don't know what the SEC.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. But the top five television markets, and that's where they make your money.
Mm-hmm.
It's Birmingham is 86%. You have Atlanta at 41%. You have Tampa, St. Pete at 30 or 20 some odd percent. Then you have Dallas and Houston. Those are the top five college television markets. If you take the whole Pac-10 or Pac-12 now, mm-hmm. only 17% of the whole West Coast are college football fans.
You've done some work on this.
Yes. And so if you take the...
For those of you who aren't sitting right here next to Coach, he's basically drawn a graph for me. Yeah. I'm saying, this is why you're an idiot, AJ.
So if you take the SEC, you're looking at 60 to 70% of the population in the SEC are college football fans. So as a TV person, a radio person, if you're going to buy that advertising and you show that you're hitting 70% of the market,
right,
you're pretty strong.
No doubt.
But in the Big 12, I mean the Pac-12, there's only either 14 or 17% of the market.
That you're getting to.
And everybody is talking about Rutgers going into the Big 10. Well, I said Rutgers was going in a long time ago because the New York market, Rutgers is number one. It's not Notre Dame. It's not the others. It's Rutgers. So that's why the Big Ten went after Rutgers, because they wanted the New York City market. The Big Ten expanded to Penn State because the Big Ten was shut off at the Ohio-Pennsylvania border. Penn State owned the top radio, the top TV market in New York City. So for the Big Ten to get to the East Coast, they had to have Penn State. So it all comes down to TV and radio. But A&M brought in 40% of that television package they signed was one school. Also, A&M, there's only three schools that are AAU members, and that's Florida,
and that's
Vanderbilt, and A&M.
A certain academic level.
There's only 50
right
in the United States. So, and the others will never be a member of the AAU.
Because they're a bunch of dummies.
So you've added, and then you added the largest endowment. And then you added the largest population. At one time, it was Florida and A&M would bounce back, and now, but now it's A&M that has the largest institution in the SEC. So there's no reason that A&M, because of Houston and Dallas and the Texas players, that can't dominate, shouldn't say dominate, but can't compete in the market and can't compete for the championship.
Coach, we're gonna let you get out of here. I'm gonna let Fred tell people one more time about your Houston Legends luncheon.
Yeah.
If Aaron Voldemort will turn his mic on.
There you go. Yeah. I know I've been quiet for a little bit, but really,
yeah, you didn't have
really
to Voldemort? Disconnect his mic.
Damn. I think Ninja was working today or something. All right, it's Tuesday, October 30th at the Hyatt Regency right here in the Galleria on Sage. And doors open to the public at 11 a.m. to start bidding on the silent auctions. And it's going to honor Jim McInvale, better known as Mattress Mac. So make sure you check that out, the first annual Houston Legends Luncheon.
That's October 30th.
Right, Tuesday, October 30th.
Yeah, get it right, Fred.
I said that. I said Tuesday. It's the first thing I read. That's the first line right there.
Okay.
Tuesday, October 30th.
Now, do y'all fight like this all the time?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's a moron. What am I doing here? I'm working with a moron.
And I'm working with a child. So.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. You don't want to write you don't want to take a writing test with him, do you?
No, absolutely not. I don't want to do that. Yeah. I mean, he's a professor, but I...
You know, Joe Moorhead, the new coach at Mississippi State, is an English major. Matter of fact, I think he got a master's in English. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if I could have gotten a master. My wife says, hell no, you couldn't.
What's it going to take for Mississippi State to compete in the SEC? Is it possible?
It's hard to sustain.
Yeah.
But you can...
They can jump up every once in a while?
You can do this. And, you know...
Do you think that's the boat A&M is in? Like every once... if they catch Alabama and Auburn in a down year, they can jump up?
No, they... A&M will get to a point where they can...
They're playing the long game.
They're going to get a point where they were like they were in the old Southwest Conference.
Okay.
Now, but it takes, like I said, those seven things in line. And but, you know, at one time I was at State, only Florida and Tennessee had won one more game than we had in 5 years. Yeah, two of the worst beatings Spurrier ever had was at Scott Field in Starkville, Mississippi. It was 30-9, one of them, and the other one was, or three, and the other one was 45-37. It was 45-28 late in the fourth quarter. And 400 yards rushing.
Are you a married man, Coach?
Oh, yes.
Maybe you can, your wife's not listening. Is it true what they say about the women in Starkville, Mississippi, that they are the best in the SEC?
I don't know, but... I was too damn busy coaching.
Oh, what do you mean? What a waste! What a waste! You're the big man on campus, and you're not. You don't have the chance to take advantage of your accomplishments. That's too bad. Yeah, I always hear at Mississippi State and Mississippi. They say that's where it's at. I lived in Nashville. I know Vanderbilt is not where it's at.
No,
that is not. Those are smart girls, and their dads have a lot of money, and they drive nice cars. But they are not the prettiest girls in the SEC, not even close.
Well, I'll put it this way. If the difference between Mississippi and Mississippi State, if you want to go there and look, then you go to Mississippi.
Okay.
For a game. If you have kids, you want to go to Mississippi State because outside the stadium, they have a lot of things for kids to do. So that's the difference of those two schools. Now, Alabama is a little of both. LSU, if you don't want to drink, then don't go.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah. Every time we played LSU, it didn't matter what time of the day the game was or at night. Usually it was night, but we did play it. The bus route, we would always get stuck by a railroad track, by the train at a rail. So I'm always thinking there's no way unless they know and have it timed out exactly for us to be there at that time. And then going to play Georgia, instead of taking you down the interstate from Atlanta to Athens, they take you the back roads. And by the time you get there, the bus is moving back and forth and you're sick because of all the swaying. So nothing has changed. Every school always tries to find a way to help the opponent come in and play.
That's right. It's the way
to
do it.
Whether the purple locker room at Iowa or, there's been plenty of times when the locker room was so hot, it was 120 in the locker room.
Well, air conditioning's hard to come by, Coach. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you for the foundation. I mean, that sounds awesome. Thanks for honoring.
We're going to have between 8 and 12 Hall of Famers.
Wow.
Yellow Jackets, and which is going to be really neat. We'll have 30-plus celebrities. you know, and from all different sports.
If you want to leave us a reminder, we'll mention it closer to the date.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Coach Jackie Sherrill. I got to tell you guys, if you hate your job, like if you got to work with someone like Fred every day, you can change it. Do something different. IT, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know anything about math or science, which, by the way, Coach was over here saying, you can't be smarter than a fifth grader and coach football. And then he's, like, writing out these science things on his folder here. I don't even understand. It's wizardry. But you don't need that with my computer career. Helping people start an IT career, that's their thing, guys. If you don't absolutely love what you do, change it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation day, and you can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just 2 or 3 times a week. You're going to get everything you need for your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. mycomputercareer.edu. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Fire!